One man who was more intimately concerned with the cause of the disaster than any we have yet heard is Captain Frank Mackey. Captain Mackey was the pilot on board the munition ship Mont Blanc that ill-fated morning. He was one of those charged with responsibility for the disaster, but he was fully exonerated by both the Supreme Court of Canada and the Privy Council. I talked to him in his pleasant home in Spryfield, a Halifax suburb. He is 86 now. His voice is old and his health is poor. But his mind is keen and his memory clear, and he told me a story that few men still alive could tell.
I came in on the Mont Blanc. The ship in the first place was supposed to be, a ship bound in was supposed to have the right of way. No other ship was allowed to pass or coming out. And they didn't know the IMO was in the port. Now that seems silly, but that's exactly what. The reason they didn't know, she was anchored in the southwest part of the basin, and she was behind the hill. Unless you went way up on the top of the hill and went out in the boat, you couldn't see that ship. Now we arrived on the examination ground. Ships were only allowed into Bedford Basin in daylight. I was late in the afternoon. And the man from the examining boat came alongside, as they all had to do to find out what the ship's cargo was and so on. Well, I said, just to wait a minute. You're standing on top of 500 tons of TNT now, both of us. The rest of the cargo is picric acid, dry and wet, and benzol on deck. Now I says, that's a damn bad cargo. I said, what I'd like you to do is ask the examining officer aboard the ship there, ask her, tell him there that I expect to get special orders for this ship through the night. Ask him if they can arrange it. Next morning, daylight came and I was ordered to get underway. I asked if there's any special orders in the way of protection for the ship. He said, no, sir. We come up, arrived up there. We were coming slow as we possibly could, just steerage, Your Honor. And the other ship was coming down on his wrong side. He was answering my one blast with two. Decidedly opposite to what he should do. He should have answered me with one and kept close to the Halifax side. Instead of that, he had passed a ship on the wrong side up above in the basin, above the narrows, and when he got down, he kept over towards Tough Coveway. The water looked wider to him. When he got down a little further, he found it was narrowing up across him, see? And he got cold feet and put a full speed astern when he was on my starboard side, and that's what cut her into me.
That's when you hit?
Yes. He cut her right into me. It's like taking a horse by the bridle and say, I'm not going that way, see? Well, we stood there as long as we could. The fire was on deck. The benzol was burning. The friction between the plates of the two ships created a spark. We stood there. There's no use to stay there any longer. I said, the only thing to do is save your crew. I said, get them in the boat. So, filled up one boat with about 20 men, 21, and the boat I was in, and the captain, the last to go, we had about 20 men, or 21, perhaps 22, and we pulled away from the ship. There was a Navy tug going down past us, and we hailed him, and I waved to him, take us in tow, hollered, but you might as well holler at you. Post. Nobody could hear. Too much racket. Chasing him the second time put us under that on the side. And we had no room to maneuver with a pile of men. Only thing was get her on the beach and turn the men ashore. The captain, he was driving his men, and I went up on the bank, stood looking at things and expecting her to go off any time. And I stood there, he came back and put his hand on my shoulder. He said, come on, buddy, come on. So we both turned around to run, and we didn't get any distance. Just as quick as that, we were knocked down. I had a raincoat on here and was taken off the same as you take a rusty knife and cut it right around.
Right around your waist?
Right around. We were knocked right down, and there was a tree fell over us, just like a miracle. It was, the branches on it were bigger than my arm. And there seemed, he seemed to be between two, and I was between another two. My cap was gone off my head that I had on, this coat was torn off. And I knew, I was smelling this stuff all the time, I knew I was alive. And after a while I stood up. I guess I must have been down there probably 10 or 15 minutes.
How do you think the collision could have been avoided? What should have been done?
By not allowing the IMO out. He came out on his wrong side, broke the rules to come on the wrong side of a steamer up above in the Narrows, then come down on the wrong side again and struck me.
Well,
he wasn't supposed to be coming out. There was no ship allowed to come out if the signals and all had been carried out by the dockyard. There was no ship allowed to come out when a ship for convoy was bound in. Had the right of way, herself, but she come out.
Once the collision took place, could anything have been done to prevent the explosion?
No. No. Explosion, she was out of business, she couldn't do anything with her. Road was throwing water on her.
Could she have been taken in tow?
Well, it would, just a question. They wouldn't have had time to take her in tow and tow her anywhere.